Father, thank you for the finished work this morning. It is finished. And we remember, no wonder we call you Savior. No one else could have redeemed, reconciled, finished the work but God. So today we remember, and today we rejoice, and today we worship you. We kiss the Son, because the Son.
All the things that I've done, and by the way, God did use them. Is that coming back? God did use them, and they were a success. But that's not my identity. How many times do people have their identity established in their failure? And this is such insecurity even in Christians' lives. Their identity is based upon their friends. That's my identity. It's based upon the people that I hang out with. My identity is based upon my addiction. Have you ever heard these meetings where they say, I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. You know what? That's not who you are. I'm born again. Okay? I've been saved and delivered. I'm not an addict. I'm not an alcoholic, although I did those things for 20 years straight. But that's not who I am. And so the devil loves to have us establish our identity in the old sin nature and in the world system. And this causes a great crisis in people's lives, because that's not who you are. I'm a mother. I'm a father. I'm a housewife. I'm a businessman. I'm an athlete. I'm a teacher. I'm this, I'm that. No. You might be doing those things, but that's not your what? Identity. That's not my identity. That's not who I am. I like what Paul says. I am what I am by the grace of God, and that grace that was in me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Wow. My identity is I am what I am by the grace of God, and my ability is I labor. That's my identity. And so when we have this identity crisis, young people, they don't know who they are. So they gravitate towards all kinds of initiations from the world system because they want the security of having an identity. Are you with me? This is what they want. And so they easily, especially young and immature, maybe in the soul, they easily gravitate towards something. And I like sports too, but you know what? I'm not trying to be LeBron James. I'm too old for that. Or my identity is my age. No, it's not. Right? You're eternal, aren't you? Huh? It's interesting. So they latch onto heroes, movie stars, people that are really, you know, up there in society, or people that seem to be examples, even great examples. They can be good examples, but that's not me. I am who I am because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? I am who I am by the grace of God, Paul says. Can you imagine? You get saved on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. You're going to kill Christians. Isn't it interesting that 65% of the Bible was written by three murderers? Moses killed an Egyptian. David killed Uriah the Hittite. And Saul of Tarsus was a killer, persecuting Christians and putting them in the jail. Is that their identity? Huh? How about this one? Oh, he's an ex-con. I hate those words. I worked in prison for 10 years. No. He's on the road to Damascus. And all of a sudden, the light shines, almost as bright as these lights. Light shines. And he falls to the ground. And he knows this is something going on here. Who are you, Lord? He did say Lord. Didn't know who it was. I am Jesus. Don't you like those three words? When God came to you one day, I am Jesus. Maybe we weren't doing the second part of this sentence. Whom you are persecuting. Now, I would have thought right away, he's going to get it. Paul must have thought, I'm going to be killed right here. This is done. God's holy. God's righteous. I'm unholy. I'm unrighteous. I'm destroying his body. I'm killing Christians. Goodbye. No, didn't happen. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Rise up, it will be told you what you will do. See, what you will do is not first. It's who you are. This identity crisis plagues people and even Christians having an identity crisis. They have this crisis that takes place because they're fellowshipping with something that's outside of God. Fellowshipping with the world system, fellowshipping with their past, fellowshipping with their old sin nature, thinking about these things, relating to one another based upon a false identity. You're not Clark Kent, you're Superman. I mean, really, it's so interesting. And so John is saying, you know who I am? This is who I am. Moses, do you know who you are? Abraham. Are you Abram? Abram, the word Abram means high father. The word Abraham means father of many nations. Abraham, do you know who you are? You're going to be a father of many nations. Yes, you're going to fail. Yes, there's things that will happen with Hagar and you produce Ishmael. Yes, you will not trust me. Yes, you will look for provision outside of me. But I want you to know, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. That's your what?
Identity.
Identity. That's your identity. Your identity is not liar. Your identity is not cheater. Your identity is not your own provider. Your identity is not the one who holds back his son from sacrifice. His identity is in Jesus Christ. And this is what happened with Jacob. Jacob is an interesting person. His name, by the way, you know what the word Jacob means? If your name is Jacob, don't get upset. Jacob means trickster, supplanter, swindler in the Hebrew. Yeah, you're no more Jacob. Your name is Israel. I'm changing your what? Identity. You're not going to be Jacob and stop. And by the way, we view ourselves in an identity that we receive from the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is amazing at giving people a false identity. You're not going to be Jacob anymore. You are now, after wrestling with God, you now have power with God. And because you have power with God, you're a new person. Now, get up. You're going to walk with a limp, by the way. I know what that means. I've been walking with a limp for about 20 years. It's not one, it's the other hip. It's okay. But you're no longer going to be Jacob. You're Israel. Joseph, your identity is not being here in Egypt, and you're not an Egyptian. You are a son of God. And because of your identity and knowing your identity, you can be raised up into being almost the most powerful person in Egypt, but you know who you are. You worship and follow Yahweh. You worship and follow God. That's your identity. You're not the one who was sold, although you were. You're not the one who is the youngest in the family. You know the little pipsqueak? The youngest in the family. That's not you. You are going to rise above, and your brothers are actually going to bow before you. That's your what? Identity. This is your identity. Aaron, stop playing around with wrong things. You're the high priest. And you're going in the wrong direction because you listen to your sister. Your sister Miriam, she's kind of like messed it up for you. And you don't really know who you are. Aaron, you are God's high priest. Hallelujah. Elijah, you're not just a Tishbite, whatever that means. Elijah the Tishbite. I'm going to use you to perform 7 miracles. You're going to do miracle after miracle. You're going to have a disciple named Elisha, whatever. And you are going to be a man of God who will shake a nation. Hallelujah. D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman, and he became a preacher who, without technology, won 1 million souls to Christ with no TV or radio. Here comes the shoe salesman. He even had a couple of bad habits. Here comes a cigar-smoking shoe salesman. Well, your identity is not your cigars, and it's not your shoes. Your identity is you're going to be a man of God who's going to shake 2 continents for Christ. This is your identity. Joshua, Do you know who you are? In Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of good courage. 4 times he says it. You're going to lead this nation. Joshua was pretty good in fighting. But God says you're going to be a leader. You're going to lead this nation. And you and Caleb are going to be instrumental. Do you know who you are? And we can sit here day after day, month after month, week after week, year after year, and we are living in an identity that's contrary to what God says about who we are. Amen? Do you know who God says who you are? You are a son of God, a daughter of God. You've been redeemed, reconciled to God. He has satisfied with his blood the payment for our sins. We are kings and priests. Hello? Too excited about this, are you? That might mean you got too much of an old sin nature identity and you can't respond to this. You're a king and a priest. You're a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God. We're going to heaven. Satan can't stop that. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I know who I am. Dr. Stevens once said to me one time, he goes, would you do like a little introduction before me? I said, I don't preach.
He said, get up there.
I said, No. I never spoke publicly. By the way, I trained to be a teacher at Westfield State College to be a teacher. And when I graduated, I realized I don't like speaking to people, especially kids, young people. So I quit. I never went to be a teacher. I decided to do something else. See, I had a wrong identity. I had a wrong understanding of my identity. Do you know who you are, David? Are you a shepherd boy or a king? What's your identity? Remember that song that used to be sung years ago? I can't think of who did it. Hidden valleys turn shepherds into kings. Was it Bob Soprano? Was it? Thank you. A few of you remember. There's a few older people out there. Just a few. It's great. Wow. You're not a shepherd boy. You're going to kill Goliath. I like what he said. You know, Goliath has intimidated everybody. He's Mr. Intimidation at 9 feet 9 inches tall with a head that weighs maybe 100 pounds. He said he had a big head. Yet I like how David carried it to Saul's palace all bloody. Huh? He goes, who is this uncircumcised Philistines that he should defy the armies of the living God? Everybody was trembling before him. Not David. Jonathan wouldn't fight him. Saul the king wouldn't fight him. Abner wouldn't fight him. None of the mighty men that were around would fight him. David steps up with a sling and a stone. Hallelujah. He knows who he is. He's taken the giant out. There's giants in my life. There's giants in our life. But when we live in the identity based upon who Jesus is in our lives, we see the giant fall. Hallelujah. Well, I work with a lot of unbelievers. Well, you are special and you are really a privileged person to be there. And you don't ever live intimidated by unbelievers around you. I am what I am by the grace of God. Are you with me? This is who I am. I worked in a prison for murderers, and I wonder whether the people that were in jail for murder were worse than the people that were, you know, guarding the cells. I didn't know who was worse. The men on the outside or the men on the inside. It was unbelievable what was going on. And I would try to minister to people that were there, all of them, the guards and the prisoners, and I realized how many of these people had no understanding of having an identity in Christ. Even some that are Christians. And that causes us to live in insecurity. It causes us to strive to go after certain things that we think are going to make our identity somehow have a kind of value. And then God says, listen, you don't have to do anything. You have an identity in my son. And it's given to you freely. Amen? This is your identity. Isaiah, you're not unclean and undone. Even though you said it in Isaiah chapter 6. You know who you are? You are a messenger, an ambassador of the king. And you're going to be a Bible writer. And Jeremiah 1, he says it 7 times. Don't say you're a child.
And, you know, I'm just a nobody. Shut up.
Stop walking around confessing that.
I'm just a nobody.
You think that's humble? You're proud when you say that.
Yeah, I'm just a nobody. I can't do anything. You know, I'm nobody in the chair. I'm just a nobody. No. Don't say you're a child. I called you. I sent you. I'm with you. I'm going to use you. Jeremiah chapter 1, God gives him 10 eyes. What God's going to do with him. You're going to be a prophet, a preacher. You're called by God. You may have to stand alone, Jeremiah 15, 16. Everybody was against me. But do you know who you are? And maybe you come to a place in life like any of us can, where everybody's against us. I remember when I got saved. My friends, it was like I had the plague. I had the plague. No more phone calls. No more. Don't come around here. We don't want to hear about Jesus, you know. This Jesus stuff. Somebody said to me recently, one of my relatives, you still doing that Jesus stuff? I said, yeah, you still doing that Satan stuff? I know who I am. Identity. And you can see it. Are you a farmer or are you Amos the prophet? Who are you? Who are you, Ezekiel? Who are you? Who are Jonah? Who you're not is making you go the other way and getting a ship to Tarsus, right? Do you know who you are? You're a prophet that's going to be sent by God. Can you believe this? All Nineveh is going to get saved, and he still gets discouraged. Remember what God said to him in Jonah 4? Doest thou well to be angry? Wow. Even after everybody gets saved, he's still got a bad attitude. He still, I knew you would do that, you know. He didn't realize who he was and how important. Jesus took 11 Galileans, and it was said, as we heard before, they were ignorant and unlearned men. That meant they were ignorant and unlearned in the rabbinical studies. They knew nothing. They were fishermen. They probably smelled like fish. You know, and Jesus says, these are the guys. I'm going to build my foundation, my apostolic foundation, on these 11 men. There was 12. One of them got a hang job. Sorry. That's what happens to devils, maybe, you know. But 11 men. We are here because of Jesus and 11 men. He took 11 Galileans and raised them up. He gave them incredible insight and knowledge that comes from him. He gave them the Holy Spirit. He gave them gifts. He gave them power. He gave them authority. He gave them life. And they would stand now in the temple and preach. They weren't intimidated. See, I'm not going to be intimidated if I know who I am. Amen? Amen. How many Christians live being intimidated? Being intimidated. You know? It's unbelievable. It can happen. It happens to me. Get intimidated. We can get intimidated very easily. I don't care who we are. But how to just revert back and think and realize who I am in Christ. And this identity crisis goes away. I don't have an... See, the reason why Christianity doesn't have the effect that it should have today in this world is because they lack ability. But it's not the ability that they lack. They don't know who they are. Imagine if you go to a church and they tell you can lose the Holy Spirit. You gotta be kidding me. Do you know what that does to people? That means if I have a wrong thought, God leaves me. He said, if you sin, the Holy Spirit will leave you. Which sin? Oh, the big ones. Oh, really? I thought sin was sin. I thought thinking can be sin. Can it not be?
Yes.
See, some of you are not thinking well of me, so you're living in sin right now. No, I'm just joking. I'm only having fun. Give me a break. I mean, and so... This is amazing what takes place. And the devil says, that's who you are. You're a sinner. No, I'm a grace man. Amen? Amen? I'm a mercy man. I'm a love man. I'm loved by God. This is amazing. And I see this identity established in my life. And it's growing. And it grows and it grows and it grows. If you think that the Holy Spirit will leave you if you're sinning, right? How does that help your stability? Can you imagine? You think a bad thought, he leaves. You repent, he comes back. You got him coming and going all day. He's getting tired. I know he can't. I know he can't, but imagine that. This is and this is what a lot of Christianity believes today. They do not understand security in the identity that's given to us from Christ. Amen? This is so important.
And when we understand that and we teach that, we have a Bible school that develops that. We see people standing up and going forward. I said to Pastor Shalit one day, imagine that. I said, you were a meat cutter and I was a criminal, bookmaker. Huh? God took a meat cutter and a criminal bookmaker and he anointed and gave us gifts and saved us. Amen? Wow, it's amazing. What happens now? I have a new identity in Christ. I'm not my past. Didn't Paul say that? Forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forth for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget the past. By the way, some people even can live too much on their Christian past. And they just derive their life from what they did and they don't do anything anymore. I'm retired. You try and retire me. If you do, I'll go to another country. That's all. You're getting a little, you're getting a little old. Yeah, 75 moving to 80. How's that one? John Wesley was preaching when he was 85, 40 messages a week. When he was 85. And riding on a horse to get from place to place. I got a car. I'm doing really well, okay? He was a preacher. He was one of, how many children was there? His mother had 17 children. Can you imagine? And you're one of the last born? What are you thinking? I wonder what I get. Everybody's hand downs, right? I get the hand-me-downs of 16 kids. Not the girls' hand-me-downs, but he got the guys' hand-me-downs. You got to make sure you clarify that because some people are strange today. You know? Oh, no. You know what? You're going to become the greatest preacher that England ever had. They said that he preached to hundreds of thousands of people over the course of his life. This is who he is. This is who you are. What do you do? How about when people say this to you? What do you do for a living? They want to control you by finding out what you do, and that's what they think your character is. Huh? Oh, how about this? I heard a woman give this answer one time, and I had to take her aside and correct her. I'm just a mother. Imagine if Mary said that. Huh? Who is Jesus to you? I'm just his mother. You know? I'm just an unanswered phone call. Some people's identities are in technology, aren't they? Huh? I don't use a computer and I don't have a phone. And I'm very happy. I'm very blessed. You want to see me, you come and see me face to face. Now, I know it's good. My wife said to me, if you break down on the highway, what are you going to do? I said, walk. She said, what if it's raining out or snowing? I said, walk. Get wet, get cold. My identity. No, I know some things are necessary, aren't they? But some people's identity is based upon this technological age that we're in. And I see some people, when I'm in the airport sometimes, 6 hours. This is what they're doing. Looking at their phone. You gotta be kidding me. 6 hours. I watched this guy for 6 hours, never take his eyes off his phone. What? You put your eyes on Jesus and your eyes in the Bible, right? Wow. Their identity is technology. They got to have the newest thing. They got the $200, now they got the $1,000 iPhone, right? Isn't that what these things cost nowadays? Huh? Yeah. Interesting. Nothing wrong if you have one. Don't get condemned. I'm just saying. But there is not my identity. I can use those things to further the gospel, but it's not my what? It's not my identity. I derive my ability from my identity, and we need to understand how much God loves us and who we are in Christ. I'm in. Do you know that it says 27 times in the book of Ephesians the word I-N? You know what that means? Actually, it's E-N in the Greek language. It means that's my position. That's my place. I'm in. I'm in Christ. I'm not just a George. I'm in Christ. See, I got you again. Bible school and Sunday morning. No, all I ever heard was every time somebody heard my name, they just said, we know who you are. I'm like, really? You do? Just because you see my name in the papers all the time? That's not who I am. Amen. It's amazing. In your Ephesians, you're in, you're in, you're in, you're in. I got a little slogan. You want to hear it? I had it in Ghana. Jesus wins, I am in, no more sin. You like that? Yeah. Say, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. Yeah, Your new man never sins. Do you know that? The old sin nature always sins. But Jesus wins and I am in and no more sins. Say that. That's not even loud.
Jesus wins.
I am in. No more sin. You tell the enemy that when he tries to tempt us and tries to come at us. You don't know who you're dealing with, stupid. You don't know who you're dealing with, demons or devil, you know? I was preaching one time. I told this story in Bible school. Maybe I even told it here. I don't know. I was preaching one time in a village, and a woman came towards me with her hair stuck straight out, all white, and she was walking on the air. She wasn't on the ground. I said, you know what I said to her? Who does your hair? You had to get comical because basically I never saw anything like that. Although I did see a man turn into a snake once. I'm serious. This is, you don't understand. You say, I don't understand. The demon warfare is more powerful in the West and in America than it is in those places because it's very subtle. There you can just see it. You know, that's the devil. That woman elevated, that's the devil, you know? But you know, who are we? We're the church of the living God, amen? We're the pillar and ground of the truth. This is amazing. We're the church. I'm in Christ, I'm in the church, and I'm in the gospel. That's my identity. What do you do for a living? In Christ. What do you do for a living, I said? In the church. What do you do for a living, I said? In the gospel. I'm in and in. I'm just in. And you can't get me out. Hallelujah. It's my identity, and therefore our ability is a response to our identity. This is key. Timothy, God hasn't, listen to this verse. I'm going to close soon, within the next 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or maybe the next hour and a half for all of you football fans. Huh? 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fear doesn't come from God. 1 John 4:8 and 4:16, perfect love casts out fear. We heard it from Pastor Eugene. God is love, and perfect love in verse 18 of chapter 4 casts fear out the door. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. That didn't come from God. Insecurity doesn't come from God. Fear doesn't come from God. Doubt doesn't come from God. Anxiety doesn't come from God. Poor self-image doesn't come from God. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want to live in what's been given. I want to live in the security of who Jesus Christ is in my life. Because therefore, when I understand who he is, who I am in him, who I am in the church, and who I am in the gospel, who I am in life, I have great ability. That's why Paul said in closing, second time, I can do all things through Christ. How many things? Almost sounds like it's an arrogant statement. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I do it through him. That's why I'm strong. If I'm trying to do it through me, I'm insecure and weak. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can read my Bible, I can pray, I can minister to people, I can share the gospel, I can give, I can be touched by God. All things through Christ. I know who I am. I know who I am. Allow God to continue to build you up in who you are in him. And you'll find out that who you are outside of him just goes away. It just kind of goes away. Father, thank you this morning. Or it's this afternoon now. We thank you. We pray that you would help us, God, to live in the security that comes from God. Not in temporal insecurity, but in eternal security. On a daily basis, not just the doctrine of eternal security saving us, but something that motivates us and gives us ability every single day. Every moment of every day. That I have an image based upon who I am in Christ. Not in my sin, not in my flesh, not in my past, not in my culture, not in my name, but in Christ. In Christ. If you're here this morning or you're watching, say, Jesus, save me today. If you're not born again, come into my life and live in me. I want to be born from above. I'm tired of this below life. But if I am born from above, this below life will become amazing. I receive you as my personal Savior today. If that's your prayer, just put your hand up. If you're watching on the internet, just say yes to God. Let's all stand and just worship him. Cedric, could you come and do that song again? Are you still here? Are you here? Come on up here. Huh? Yahweh. Are you listening? Hold it. Put your hands up and say, God, God, I want to live in who you've made me to be. You men are not going to be fishers. You're going to be fishers of men. I'm making you fishers of men, you fishermen. Oh, I have security in Christ. I believe God today. Don't live in insecurity. Don't live in your old sin nature. Don't live in the weakness. Don't live in the past. Don't live in people's projections about you. Don't live based on reflection from your old sin nature. Live in who God has said you are and who he's made you to be. That's eternal, and that just keeps on. Is Cedric, is the man here? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord today. Amen. Thank you, God. I am what I am. Say it. I am what I am. By the grace of God. And I can labor more abundantly than you all. Now, we're not getting into a labor contest here, okay? I can labor because of who God is.